Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, including the iTunes, the iOS thing, right? It's you click on the podcast app.
I don't know. I have an Android phone.
You poor dumb son of a bitch. Well, you can get us on Stitcher or Podbean.
We're already there.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. You can get our podcast there.
Oh, okay.
They
meant I could get us on those platforms,
no,
but we're already there.
You're useless. You can't do anything right. Whoa! Oh, that was rude and uncalled for and untrue. You're very good at whatever you do. We're also at
Sure that's much better.
We're also at I'm trying to talk right now. Patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can contribute to the show and exchange experience rewards. Like, hear me run down Larson on the bonus episode of the show. In this picture right here, I am Rick Steiner and you are Dog Steiner. Oh, no! That's my favorite picture of all time. I repent. You just gave me this, the draw for Wild.
I did.
We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can get this fantastic shirt that my model is wearing right here. My very handsome model. Did you trim up the beard a little bit?
I did it like last weekend. Thanks for noticing.
I like that you...
You parted your hair on a different side. I immediately noticed.
I know, because you were on my bald side. That's why.
Doesn't matter.
Because you look over
you
and you're
like, parted
oh my
it down
God.
The middle. I still wouldn't notice.
You should have said, Steve, did you just
I pay attention,
10 years?
Steve.
Yeah, you do. I know, and you got like one good eye, too.
I do.
All right. Anyways, enough of that madness. We're here to talk about 205 Live and NXT. I was thoroughly entertained by both shows this week. 205 Live. I've been on. Hey, can I say this first?
What?
We're goofy guys, but I kind of want to take the jokes down for a second. I did not realize when I run down Mauro Ranallo.
Oh yeah.
That the man suffers from, and he's been very outspoken about this publicly. I never knew
until I didn't
one
know.
Of our guys on Twitter.
Yeah, I had no idea either.
Let us know. But he suffers from extreme depression and bipolar disorder.
Yes.
And so if that's what's ailing the man, then I feel like an asshole. And I shouldn't be talking shit about that. I focus on the product that's in front of me and the aspects that I like and dislike. And we've both been very vocal about how we feel about his style of commentary. Mm-hmm. But taking that aside, you know, it's not if the man is sick and, you know, suffering from these
yes,
things.
Yes.
You know, obviously, that's not something I want to rag on. I don't want to make light of it.
Yeah, same here.
So I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave him alone from now on.
Okay.
And wish him the best. And
yes.
I wanted to get that out there.
Yes, absolutely.
I can act like an asshole, but I don't think I'm actually an asshole. Maybe a little bit.
You're not an asshole.
I don't want to pick on people who are suffering from shit. I want to pick on people who are at full strength.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Okay.
Anyways. We did get another episode of 205 Live without Mauro. It was Tom Phillips and Corey Graves.
Yes.
Corey Graves really seemed... he has so many great run. I couldn't write them all down, but he's so good.
All his lines, his good lines.
He cracks me up. I wrote a couple
The chemistry between him and Tom Phillips is fantastic.
It really is. No, it's fantastic. So let's see. We opened up with a Neville interview.
I always find it kind of weird they open a show after the package. They start the show generally with a recap. I'm sure to change out the ropes and the mat in the ring since SmackDown just ended. But then to go from that, maybe they just needed more time. I don't know. To start the show with an interview?
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like the show would have more momentum out of the gate if they started with a match, especially this Perkins-Tony Nese match, which was pretty good.
Oh, which is really good. Yeah, I know.
Like, start the show with something exciting.
Yeah.
Not a backstage interview.
Well, that's how we book fun wrestling in W. Steve.
No, they're in-ring promos.
We don't have the ability to do backstage interviews.
Nope.
I would do that every single time.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I mean, this is just personal preference. I don't know if you agree or
no,
if it
I'm
matters
with you.
To you.
No, the backstage thing is odd. The backstage thing is oddball.
The only thing I think of, they just need more time to change over the ring.
Yeah, it could be right. In any event, what did Neville say during this interview? It was kind of standard Neville. I feel like I actually really liked the main event and the story they were telling there.
Yes.
But you're right. This was sort of, it was like standard Neville.
Yeah.
Didn't really give a whole
and
lot.
And I remember watching this interview. And I was like, wow, you know, Neville has really established himself as a really good heel.
Oh, for sure.
He performance wise, he's got it down.
Yeah.
Now I wish they would add some layers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some depth to the character.
Yeah.
Because this interview, as you said, seemed like pretty much stock Neville at this point.
Yeah.
But by the main event,
yeah,
there were some layers being added.
There was some. Like. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Not only were there layers added, but they've just through that main event, they gave some depth to the feud. I loved them having Austin Aries out there.
Yeah.
And I thought that his performance was spectacular just on commentary, because too often you get a one-dimensional performance, just a guy running him down, but you could see Austin Aries. Well, we'll talk about it in the main event. That led us into a really good match between TJ Perkins and Tony East. I had a great idea. Fantastic idea. So a lot of people, you and I have both said that we're getting kind of tired of wearing the slap nut shirts as a form of punishment, because it's not really punishment enough. I had an idea. What if you and I got to whoever won got to provide the shirt that he wants the other guy to wear.
Okay.
So, for example, you know, we talk a lot of shit about Roman Reigns merchandise.
Yes.
Which one of our friendos,
I
got to start writing these people's names down. Said, sent us a selfie of him in a shirt. He says, yeah, me and my girl got matching shirts. I got to keep her happy. And we both understand what that's like. And so, like, one of us would provide the other with a Roman Reigns shirt. Not only would it be a shirt, but you get to dictate what size.
Oh, okay.
It is. So if I wanted you to wear like a Moo size Roman Reigns shirt,
yes,
you'd have to wear it. But here's the catch. Wouldn't be for the entire week. It would simply be for either the recap episode or, because if you give me an extra small Roman Reigns shirt, I would totally wear it because I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
I'd be busting out of that son of a bitch. Luckily, this thing right here.
You
hides
couldn't
the
do
gut.
It for the entire week, though.
I wouldn't want to do it, and I wouldn't want to put you in a mood. Like, it just looks bad on the show. You know what I mean? So I kind of like this. Like, the slap nut shirt, it's a decent fitting shirt.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, for the entire week.
It's a bit much, but also after having worn it a couple times.
It wears off.
It
the
does.
Punishment wears off, exactly. Yeah. And so, what do you think about that? And it would be kind of creative.
It would be. The only downside would be, potentially, is if you want to keep it fresh, that would mean us buying a lot of wrestling shirts that we'd only wear, like, once.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? Maybe then we can just give it away to one of our patrons. We're getting money from them anyways.
That's true.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I thought it was a good idea. Moving on. Let's see here. We have, TJ Perkins versus Tony Nese. I really like this, and I love that. So Tony Nese picked up the win with a running Nese.
Yeah, that's what they call it, the running Nese. But before that, during the course of the match, Tony Nese pulled off the turnbuckle cover on the second turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously to set it up for some future spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up giving Perkins his German suplex into the turnbuckle. But one of the turnbuckles didn't have a pad on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was TJP hitting exposed steel.
Yeah. No, I like that.
It's a good spot.
I like that they didn't do the spot like immediately after.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
made you wait for it.
It was
yeah.
sort of like this threat that was just sort of lingering. Look at my hand. Look at it. Got,
yeah, you're all scratched up.
Gypsy Bug and I. She was. Sometimes she gets like a little bit more energy than other times. So we were going at it.
So she tries to eat you.
She literally tries to eat me, yeah. And then I stop and I say, come here. Look what you did to me. And then she licks my wounds.
Oh, really? You sure that's sanitary?
Yeah, that's how dogs clean themselves.
What, by licking themselves?
No, that's how cats clean themselves.
That's why cats have dirty
mouths. No, but dogs lick their wounds.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Lick their wounds.
I mean, there's the idea that dogs have really clean mouths.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's necessarily true.
I think they have a higher turnover rate of
that's
saliva in the
too.
Mouth. Yeah,
doesn't necessarily mean their mouths are clean.
No, but it makes me feel better, makes her feel better. We bond. Like, we fight, and then we bond by her licking my wounds. It's great.
Okay.
Like, what? I'm fine. What am I going to get?
That one looks a little inflamed.
What am I going to get? I'm not going to get anything. I know. It was bleeding earlier. That's the thing. So let's see here. Yeah, no, this is a fantastic match. You know, it's funny. The more I run down TJ Perkins. But it's funny because here's the thing. So I run down TJ Perkins
a lot
because he dabs. I'm lightening up, though. Because I'm appreciating his ring work.
Yeah,
and
his ring work's
really
good.
And I loved him in Southpaw Wrestling. But so I posed this problem last time we talked about TJ Perkins in that, number one, he's 32 and he's trying to act like he's 22.
Yes.
He's a good-looking 32-year-old, though.
Yes.
He looks very young. And I said, you know, nobody dabs anymore. And then I got Twitter responses saying, as soon as he said that, I noticed on like SmackDown or whatever, somebody behind Tom Phillips, a kid dabbing. That's fine. The kid's out of touch with today's, you know, pop culture. But I think my point stands. People aren't going to be dabbing, you know, for the next 5 years.
No.
I'd be surprised if you saw that 12 months from now.
Yeah, here's the thing about his you know, when he walks on the ramp, generally most wrestlers have something they do.
Yeah, right.
His just feels a little too choreographed.
Yeah, I know it does.
The whole thing.
I know.
And I think that's not so much the dabbing mm-hmm. that kind of bugs me. It's yeah. the whole routine.
But here's the thing, though. The little thing he does with his hands, and then he, you know?
Yeah.
That is a choreographed thing. My stepdaughter, Marissa, does it. Or she did it as of like 6 months ago. So I think it's, and I noticed like I had to go to the stupid cheer meeting for the other step kid. I got too many goddamn kids here, man. I had to go to this cheer meeting for them. Yeah, I go to fucking cheer meetings. That's how fucking old I am. And I was sort of, I was so bored. I was fucking bored to death. And this coach up there, this dude who's trying to be alpha guy, but it's like, dude, you're a cheerleading coach. You can't be alpha. He's up there talking. And so I'm wandering around and I see like a couple of derper teenagers. And they like did it to them silent. Like they, it was like, it's like their form of communication. It's weird. It's like a whole sub language of like sign language for teenagers.
Interesting.
But they're teenagers. This is like literally high school.
Yeah.
TJ Perkins is 32 years old, which means that he graduated from high school. What's the math on that? 14 years ago?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, 14 years ago. What was 14 years ago? It was 2003.
Yeah.
Do the math on that one. They had a really good match, though. He was really, yes. I was really impressed with TJ Perkins against Tony Nese.
Yes.
I love Tony Nese, man. And the thing is, the cool thing is, having him get this number one, everybody's getting wins over TJ Perkins these days. And having him pick up this win over TJ Perkins means that they really are going to do something with Tony.
I hope so.
After this. And
I wouldn't be surprised because they said weeks ago, and granted, they've had a match. If they do more with Austin Aries.
Yeah, I know.
And Tony Nese.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Are you 100% on Austin Aries picking up that title at Mania? Me neither.
I think it's 50-50 now.
I'm like 50-50.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had a rematch at Payback, mm-hmm. if that's where Austin Aries wins it.
That could be. Because I could totally see this be the kind of thing where it's like, oh, yeah, it's obvious he's going to have his WrestleMania moment and win. But I'm kind of thinking I might, in our predictions, I might go with Neville.
Depending what happens next week on 205 Live, yeah.
He's done so good, I would actually, I don't know. I don't know how much stock we can put into them rewarding people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if this shot of life that he's thrown into the Cruiserweight division 205 Live will be rewarded at WrestleMania.
Could be. Here's something I want us to try this time for predictions. Let's individually write down our predictions beforehand.
Okay.
And then we can talk about them.
Okay.
So that way, I know someone suggested us doing that in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's not like we're basing our predictions on what the other person is doing. We're not trying to play the game so we don't lose predictions. We're just making our predictions.
Oh, that's fine. That's cool. I don't think it'll be that much of a
I don't think it'll be that much different either.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I'll go into predictions and think, okay, strategically, let's, because for whatever reason, like whatever, like the most coin flip of a match there is on the card, I want the entire result of predictions to rest on the result of that match.
Oh, yeah.
Typically.
Yeah.
Because I think it's funnier.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Rather than have, you know, one of us just, you know, totally destroy the other person in terms of predictions. Just having everything rest on one match. But then just to go into it and say, okay, we're going to just use this one match for predictions and nothing else.
Yeah.
I guess we did last time.
It's kind of silly in the first place what we do. And so I'm totally fine, like, just bit by bit. Like, whatever card is up, if it makes sense for us to go all in on Goldberg-Lesnar or Goldberg-Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Then let's do that. If it doesn't make sense to do that, like WrestleMania, obviously we want to go down the entire
card.
Yeah,
and also think for WrestleMania predictions, I think that's going to be a card really, I know you try to do this sometimes, where we have to look at the card as a whole and see, you know, heel wins versus face wins, the ebb and flow of the card.
Yeah.
And how that plays out and determining who wins each
Like
match.
I think, for example, go
ahead.
I'll throw this one out. Baron Corbin versus Dean Ambrose. I'm kind of going to base that off of what else happens on the card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure. I mean, you can even go from the end, the natural end point of Lesnar, Goldberg, and even Orton Bray. Lesnar, I know Goldberg is totally the face going into this. Lesnar still is going to get pops.
He's not going to get booed when he wins.
Undertaker, Roman Reigns is going to be fucking, God, I'm so convinced that's going to be a shit show. Like, here's my thing. You know how much I poo-poo. Why are we talking about this during 205 Live?
I don't know.
Let's talk about this next time. Some other thing. I was going to say, you know how much I've been poo-pooing AJ versus Shane?
Yeah.
But now I've come around to that. I am nowhere near coming around to Roman Reigns Undertaker. I am not even close to being... That might be my merchandise match.
I kind of want to take it in firsthand to see how bad it is.
I know.
I don't know if there's going to be a merchandise match on the card this year. Yeah, one where I just don't care at all.
I don't know, man. Drew Gulak continues his hot streak.
Dressed in his lawyer suit.
Yeah.
And he took a very lawyer tone.
Well, it was sort of lawyer. It was also sort of politician.
It was. I look at it this way. It was his opening arguments.
Yeah, that's what I know. It was. Yeah.
And he said he said last time he dropped a promo that 205 Live was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And today, or last night, sorry, Tuesday, wow, he blames the WWE Universe because they're cheering on, as he put it, glorified stuntmen.
Yeah.
Wrestling a reckless style.
Yeah.
So he's going to be... It's kind of like when Foley decided he wasn't going to wrestle hardcore anymore, and he got heel heat that way.
Yeah.
I imagine Drew Gulak is going to go in there and just wrestle a purely technical style.
Yeah.
And not do any high risk
moves. I hope they let him go full force with that.
Yes.
Because I think that's a great way to establish heel shit. You saw Foley do that when he rejected hardcore wrestling back in ECW.
Yep.
And I think this is a good twist on doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Let's see here. Then we had Akira Tozawa versus, we got his name thanks to Bleacher Report, Alex Reynolds.
Wasn't much of a match.
No, this was
pretty
not.
Much instant snap German suplex win for Akira Tozawa.
I believe Tozawa ducked an attempted clothesline from Alex Reynolds
straight into
the suplex, and that was it. And then, I love everything about Akira Tozawa.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say that? I love his music because I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be kind of a Kill Billish thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love that. That's fantastic. I love the way he talks. Like, it's got such a flow to it. He just seems like a really, really, I said this about Battle of Fale. He seems like another anime character. You know what I mean? But it's, I think, in a cool way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a really neat one.
Akira Tozawa just seems comfortable. He just seems very comfortable.
Totally. Yeah.
Whereas Perkins at times seems, especially doing promos, seems very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. I know.
But Tozawa just seems completely comfortable.
And Tozawa has a freaking language barrier. It's obvious English isn't his first language. And that's crazy. Like, how can somebody be so comfortable doing that? It's great.
So Tozawa calls out Brian Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick doesn't come to the ring. And Tozawa says, well, if you won't come to me, I'm coming to you. And starts to walk backstage.
Yeah.
And then he gets blindsided.
Yeah, railroaded by a security guard. And then Corey Graves says, oh, no, security, that isn't necessary. And then he takes off his shit and he says, oh, wait, no, it's the security guard.
I missed that.
Brian
That's funny.
Kendrick.
That's
it's
really
not
funny.
Just any security. It's the security guard.
That's really good.
I know. And then he gives him sliced bread number two off the apron onto the floor.
Yeah.
Or you know, runs up the apron.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. And then Brian Kendrick gets on the mic and says, lesson number eight, appearances can be deceiving. Drops the mic on him and walks away to his great theme music. I fucking love Spanky, man. I love Brian Kendrick.
Yeah, he's good.
A man with a plan. It's the security guard. Oh, that was great.
That's
I love
fantastic.
It. It was entertaining. It's like only 4 weeks ago, I was shitting all over 205 Live.
You were.
It's entertaining now. I like it.
They finally started letting him wrestle their style.
I think they've been doing that. They've been, you know, the newer guys they brought in, Akira Tozawa.
Brought some
new energy to the show. I like this Brian Kent. I was reading, I think it was Bleacher Report, because that's where I got this from. And in their little analysis, they said that this feud isn't working. I think it's kind of working
for me.
I'll be honest. I want to know what the lessons are that we keep getting. When's their blow-off going to be? Do we know?
We don't know.
I kind of wish 205 Live had their own takeover-style events instead of just incorporating them. I mean, look, I like the – I'd maybe have, like, their main event – be part of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But I kind of want them to have their own thing because otherwise you don't get enough.
In terms
of their big blow-off matches.
Yeah, in the blow-off matches, they don't get a stage.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Regularly, like a pay-per-view.
I noted this in the dirt sheet, but it was within the context of the what we're going to be talking about on the dirt sheet tomorrow. But it was like the ninth most watched show on the network.
Behind reruns of two WrestleManias?
A couple different WrestleManias and a couple other things. Yeah, it's not good.
Well, I was looking at the – I really paid attention to the crowd last night on long shots.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of empty seats.
I know. It's just that they need to rethink the way they're doing that. Unless number nine is good enough for them with how low the show – costs to run.
Yeah, because they don't do it. There's no added production cost per se.
Right, exactly. let's see here. Then we had Jack Gallagher and Rich Swann backstage. So was it last week? I think Gallagher was taking tips from Rich Swann in terms of how to dance.
Yes, and this week Rich Swann was taking fashion tips.
Yes.
From Jack Gallagher. Yes. They're wearing matching suits.
Yeah, I like this pairing. I'll be honest with you. Polar opposites. Both guys high charisma. I like this pairing. Right here, Noam Dar enters the scene. He had no product in his hair. It was different. It was different.
It's like he just got out of the shower and had to put his jacket on.
He had low flow shower.
Episode of Seinfeld. Yeah,
exactly. So he shows up with. I was happy to see Daivari in tow, wearing a WrestleMania shirt, and Noam Dar had a gift box with him, and he pulls out some sexy lingerie.
Yes,
and says, "What is the meaning of this?"
And he more or less said to, I think primarily Swan.
Well, yeah.
If Alicia Fox gets any more packages from me,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be too many.
Exactly. And he says, "Our love transcends gifts." And he says, "We need we need to settle this once and for all," or some shit like
that. Yeah, yeah. Rich Swan says, "Sure, but you can't handle this."
Yeah, exactly. Noam Dar had no. No responses, and Daivari was running down Rich Swann for, I thought, what is his good dance moves.
Yeah.
He said, "Who does the thriller anymore?" He said, "What are you going to do next?" Fucking, I forget what he threw at him. Now I forget what he fucking said. That's okay. Let's see here. Then Austin Aries got in the ring, gave a kid a banana peel.
Yeah. You know, he's fond of bananas.
Yeah, potassium.
Yes.
They're high in potassium.
So on his way out to the ring,
mm-hmm.
he gave some kid... his banana peel.
And then he started an interview with himself.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty amusing. And then he said his last question to himself before he was interrupted by Neville was, "What's the most embarrassing thing you found out about Neville?"
And he's about to tell that story, and then Neville came out.
Yeah. I like that he went high on the rhymes during the Neville level double yes. A bit. I thought that was good. And so basically Austin Aries announced that he was not going to be leaving. He would be doing commentary
for the match between Neville and Mustafa Ali.
That's right. Now I thought this played out really, really well because Neville was essentially using Mustafa Ali as a example.
Yes.
As to what he was going to provide Austin Aries. And I thought the commentary with Corey Graves and Tom Phillips has done really, especially Corey Graves was done really well because Austin Aries essentially said this. He said, "I'm out here to scout Neville."
Yes.
You know, the look on Austin Aries' face, usually when you do commentary like this, when you have a competitor doing commentary, they're sitting there selling the match, trying to hype the match, and no selling their opponent's abilities.
Yeah. This was the exact opposite, because Aries at one point even said, "Sorry, I'm having a hard time providing anything important to say because I'm so focused on watching my opponent for WrestleMania."
Exactly. And the camera was cutting to close of Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And you could tell there was a dearth of emotions. That was loud. Was that you or me?
That was me.
Okay. Where he looked equal parts concerned and, you know, he was studying him.
Focused.
And there was a couple things going on there. I thought that it was really good. I thought that he's not taking his opponent lightly.
No.
He understands why Neville is where he's at.
Yes.
And the time for bluster is kind of over. Now he really needs to get into the game, so
yes.
to speak.
There's this great shot towards the end of the match where there's a couple of really great spots we'll get to in a second, but I want to talk about this one spot. Neville gets Ali in kind of a wheelbarrow position
mm-hmm.
and then swings them into the ring post.
Oh, on the outside.
And he grabs him by the wrist and then drags him past the commentary
yes,
table.
Yes, that was awesome.
And there was a great shot that was behind the commentary desk where you see Neville dragging Ali right in front of Austin Aries.
Yeah.
It was so well directed.
Yeah, it really was. And he's just staring at Austin the entire time. Like, look at this dead carcass. This is going to be you next.
Yeah. And really well done.
And the camera would go back to Austin, and he wasn't taking any of it lightly. He wasn't, like, shit-talking necessarily.
No.
He wasn't like, "Oh, you're nothing." No. He was sitting there taking this very seriously. And I thought that added a lot. And that's that alone, you know, gets us more into the matchup at WrestleMania.
Speaking of awesome spots, Mustafa Ali did a fantastic Spanish fly off the top rope.
Yeah, that was cool. Awesome. That was really neat.
And there's a couple times where Ali was trying to get Neville set up for the inverted 450, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't hit it.
Yeah.
And it only seemed like he was on the precipice of winning that match if he could hit that move. But the two times he tried to do it, he just couldn't do it.
There's a really great sequence with the top rope German suplex that had a really slow build to it. And the commentators were really, really emphasizing, oh, my God, he can't do this. This is going to end his career. And it was maybe 3 minutes, but it was a really, really great build for a single move. And he sold it like a champ. He went all the way over. And it was it's those little things that really matter when it comes to, because Neville, we understand Neville's got an amazing arsenal of moves that he's had to adjust due to his heel persona.
Yes.
And he's had to focus more on storytelling, brutalizing physicality, as opposed to the cool high flying shit that's going to get people to cheer.
But every once in a while, he'll still, was it against one of his matches recently? I can't remember.
He pulled out the red arrow.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so in this case, he ended up making Mustafa Ali tapping out to the Rings of Saturn. Does he have his own name for it? I forget.
I don't think so.
But while he was doing it, of course, he looked back at Austin Aries.
Yes.
And Corey Graves said, you know, that could be you.
Austin Aries just said, no.
Yeah, yeah. But he did. But he said it. Here's the thing, though. He said it not with the utmost confidence.
Yeah.
You know, he said it with, it was more like telling himself, that's not going to be me. Mm-hmm. I can't let that be me. As opposed to, that could never happen to me. So there's a difference there.
Yes.
And then, of course, at the end, Austin Aries gets up and he's got a weird polo shirt with like a weird like triangle on it.
I didn't notice. I thought it was just like stripes.
Yeah, no, it was like a weird offset triangle. Oh, it looked like a Star Trek shirt. Anyways. They have a stare down at the end.
Yeah. Ended the show that way. Good show.
Yeah, it's a good show. Then we got NXT, which kicked off with a fucking fantastic match between Oney Lorcan and La Sombra.
Yeah, yeah. Andrade, Cien Almas.
Cien Almas, yeah.
Yeah, good match. They really let this one, they gave it a lot of time, and they took their time building up to
the
finish.
They were wrestled on one of those televised house shows?
Yeah, and Lorcan got the win.
Yeah, and Lorcan picked up the win. This time, Cien Almas got the win with the Hammerlock DDT.
I thought it was interesting during the match that Nigel McGuinness said "Ingobernable."
Yeah.
I was eating Cheerios, so I didn't catch the setup for it, but I heard that word. I heard "Ingobernable." I was like, oh.
Yeah, ooh.
And then he just said, which means ungovernable.
Yeah.
And he's continued doing commentary.
Did you see Gaina related to that? Did you see the... The Usos on Smack on Talking Smack.
No. Oh, they said Bullet Club, right?
Yeah,
I heard about that.
He said, bring them all in. He said, yeah, we want to fight everybody. All those guys over on Raw, we'll fight Bullet Club. Daniel Bryan and Renee Young were like. And he said, you know, Anderson's and Gallo. It was funny. He said, we'll fight Bullet Club. Like, guys.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. Bring it down a notch.
So Andrade picks up the win with the Hammerlock DDT after a great match.
Yeah, no, and like you
really
said,
physical.
The really physical match. They gave this a lot of time, and everything that we love about Oney Lorcan and everything we love about Cien Almas was in this match. The chops, the physicality.
A lot of forearms.
Stiffness, the forearms. Great shit going on outside the ring. Just looks like both men were really putting it to each other. It was really good.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about these promos?
I like the DIY one. I like that one.
It was charming.
Yeah.
It was charming. I don't think it sells me on TakeOver any more than sold necessarily.
I mean, we know that match is going to be really good.
Yeah. They just came off as a bit choreographed. Both of them. I thought this one the Revival. I didn't. They did one for.
Yeah, they did.
For Authors of Pain?
No.
Oh, they didn't do one. Okay, no, so
they'll probably do that next week, I'm guessing. That's just speculation on my part.
Okay.
I thought the Revival one was good so long as Scott Dawson was the one doing the talking. He's more natural on the mic.
He is, totally. And Wilder... Wait, which one has the big beard?
Wilder.
Okay, then we're on the same page. He kept on... He had his... Like, he didn't know what to do with his hand.
I know.
Kept on holding it here.
But I love when Scott Dawson said, we fight for money.
Yeah, yeah. No, great. It was good. It was good. I don't know. Felt a little bit like filler to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely felt that way about the Bobby Roode Shinsuke video package.
That was filler, but it was really well produced filler.
See, I thought it was kind of
Really? They used the voiceover guy.
I know, but it felt... NXT does a really good job of not being cheesy.
Yeah.
And this was, at points, a little cheesy.
Okay, I can see that.
A little cheesy.
I can see that. I was okay with it, but yeah, it was filler. Let's see here. After the DIY promo...
We had Asuka versus Priscilla Zuniga.
Oh, I didn't catch her name. Did they say her name on the broadcast?
Okay. Yeah, and it's on. They have her name on the breakdown, the show results on WWE.com.
I like that she starts. She said, "Ember Moon, this is
your fate.
Is your she either said your fate or your head.
Yeah.
To me, it sounded like. I mean, there's a language barrier there. It sounded like she said, "This is your hate," which I was like, "That's a really cool phrase." But then Tom Phillips said, "Oh man, this is your head." And then Nigel McGuinness said, or she said, "This is your fate."
It's the other way around.
So wait, what's that?
It was the other way around.
Oh, they both okay, whatever. And yeah, because she like kicked the shit. She kicked that girl's head off.
Yeah.
And just completely destroyed her and wouldn't even pin her. She like kept on picking her up.
Yeah, I know. She was really putting it to her until finally winning with an Asuka lock.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And afterwards, she Asuka did another promo.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that
shit.
Yeah,
that's great.
I love that shit. Stick to your... I mean... I'm going to say stick to your own language. That sounds fucking rude. But I, in my opinion, it's more effective. Like Cien Almas, it's more effective. Although I love when he talks English. I think he's got such a thick accent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It sounds fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But I like when he mixes it in.
Yes, exactly.
With his Spanish. I love that shit. Cause I know what pero means from years of Del Rio.
But Asuka closed her promo just saying no eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
No, I liked it. I'd like when you throw in bits of punctuating English, if English isn't their first language, I think it's really effective when they do stick to their own language because it's obvious. Look, man, we don't need to know exactly word for word what she's saying.
You just got to get the feeling of what she's saying.
When we're watching New Japan and we see Shibata up there cutting a promo on Okada, hey, it'd be great to know exactly what he's saying, but you get a feeling for what he's saying. And I'd rather get a feeling for what they're saying as opposed to them sort of clumsily saying something in a language that they're not terribly familiar with, you know. So I think it's okay if we don't know exactly what they're saying.
After that, we had the Revival promo where they said, "We fight for money."
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bobby Roode Shinsuke package hyping their match at TakeOver.
Yeah. Man, I haven't seen that. Is that a new the WWE 24, the Dallas one?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if it's new or not, but it's out. And I was reminded of it because WWE had on their Twitter feed.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, okay. Because sometimes I'll just miss stuff, and it's like, that's six months old, dude.
Yeah. After that, we had a Ty Dillinger, Roderick Strong, and No Way Jose promo. Very short. Everybody had one line.
Yeah. Because they had a match that night. It was the main
against
event.
Against Sanity.
I
thought it was funny that No Way Jose called Sanity crap. That was funny.
Did he call them the pieces of crap?
I think so, yeah.
Those pieces of crap.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I love No Way Jose. Wear your cool new shirt. Stop wearing the stop trying to push the stop sign shirt on us, man. It's crap.
And then Roderick Strong had a line that wasn't delivered terribly well. I remember what it was. I had an idea.
Dude, and I love his style of wrestling. I love him in the ring, man. Yes. So I'm not talking shit. But as much as, and I love them in the ring too, as much as the Mighty Don't Kneel are HR guys, Roderick Strong is the most HR looking dude I've ever seen in my fucking life.
I had an idea following the main event.
My sister is in the financial sector. So that's where she works.
Yes.
He looks like every financial sector dude I've ever seen.
Ruby Riott debuted last night during the main event.
Mm-hmm.
What if they paired her and Roderick Strong together? I don't know if she has mic skills.
That is a weird pairing right there, man.
But, I mean, assuming that she's a decent talker,
yeah,
that would be a good balance to kind of his deficiencies.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be cool.
You know, I mean, as much like Roderick Strong, there's no edge to him, it doesn't seem, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where she seems like she has an edge to her.
Yeah. She looks like she's all edge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still say let him go heel.
Or that.
See what they can do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if they're together, and I know you're not saying that they should be romantically linked.
No.
I know you're not saying that. But you always, like, whenever you see, like, a guy and a girl together, like, paired up, you instinctually sort of want to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be really oddball.
Yeah.
But I don't know. On the other hand, I like this like impromptu faction here.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it because I think No Way Jose. I love how extreme he is because he's either the extreme party guy or man, he'll run you down.
I know.
Those pieces of crap.
I know.
Those pieces of crap is great. I want him to be my friend.
Yeah.
I want No Way Jose as my friend.
Next, we had a Heavy Machinery video package.
Let me just say this real quick.
What?
No Way Jose. Who would you rather want as a friend?
Oh, I know where this is going, I feel like.
No Way Jose or Mojo Rawley?
No Way Jose.
Why? I'll tell you why.
Okay, you say your reason.
Okay, here's why. You go to a club.
Yeah.
And you're with No Way Jose. Somebody talks shit, runs into you, picks a fight. No Way Jose is going to throw down for you. Mojo Rawley will make friends with those guys, and then you'll end up partying with them.
Yeah.
And no matter how big of a douchebag those guys are, Mojo will be cool with them. He'll be like, no, it's all good. We'll just all party.
Let's all get hyped together.
Let's all get hyped together. I don't want that. I want the guy who's going to throw down on a fucking on a dime, like in a heartbeat.
Okay.
What was your
I was going to say that I feel like No Way Jose, while he appreciates a good time,
mm-hmm.
I also feel like he knows when to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure Mojo knows when to dial it back.
I think you're probably right about
and at my advanced age, sometimes I just want to dial it back.
Yeah, because No Way Jose also kind of looks like he's in an advanced age. So like
No Way Jose is like, he looks like, I'm gonna have a good time and party, but I'm going to do it responsibly.
Exactly. And on top of that, you know that him and his probably large family are going to have amazing barbecues. You know what I mean? Or fiestas. Yeah, fiestas. That's his thing is fiestas.
Yeah.
Are those interchangeable? Do they have barbecue? Do they have like food at fiestas? Right, they do.
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah,
right. If you go to like a Latino household, that's you're going to a fiesta, not a barbecue. Or do they have barbecues as well?
I don't know
if they're in. I don't know like the definition of a fiesta if it includes like barbecuing stuff.
I suppose it could.
I don't know. My mom's from Paraguay. I should ask her.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. Then we got a fucking amazing video package for Heavy Machinery for High Voltage.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so hyped about that. Fucking Hoss City.
I really like that NXT is going full Hoss.
Oh, it's so, dude, they are all in on Hosses. All Hoss, always. My stomach is growling like a motherfucker. What are we going to have for lunch today?
I don't know. It's open to discussion.
Okay. Then we had a Cassius Ohno interview.
Great. This segment was great.
This is really fantastic.
So the interviewer asked Ohno how he felt after his loss to Bobby Roode, and he was about to, you know, break it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear guitar playing.
Well, this aired last week as well. Yeah. It was either last week or it was on YouTube, but no, I saw this was either last week.
It wasn't on YouTube because it wasn't on last week. It was not on last week.
What? Okay, wait, was last
because
week?
Because she said, you know.
Was last week the Ohno match?
Yeah.
Oh, last, okay, it was must have been on YouTube.com. Okay, I'm sorry. I went into this seeing this already, and you're right. It's fucking fantastic.
Right as Ohno is about to, you know, like pour his heart out over his loss to Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
You hear the same two guitar chords that the Drifter always plays.
Yeah.
And he starts singing a song.
Yeah.
It's great.
What was this? It was something like looking for titles.
But you'll never get your turn.
You'll never get your turn. What it is what I. But like the interviewer barely had the mic to him, so he's kind of fluttering in and out.
And he's like walking downstairs from the outside of the arena.
Yeah, exactly.
It was great.
And Cassius Ohno
took like immediate offense to it.
He immediately was pissed off and said, he says, you know what you need? An ass kicking. That's what you need. And
he says,
and Drifter says, he says, I don't think so. He says, I don't think I need this, but I don't think you belong here either.
And then Cassius Ohno, in a moment of reflection, mm-hmm. self-reflection, says, you know, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe you don't. Let's have a match.
Yeah.
Loser leaves NXT.
Drifter's heading up to Maine, baby. Oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited.
Straight to the SmackDown lower mid-card.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
He's going to get so much heat.
Oh, it's going to be
It's going to border
great.
On X-Pac heat. Because that kind of shtick works in the NXT arena.
Oh, I love it.
And people are going to get legitimately annoyed with him on the main roster.
I'm going to be fucking, as soon as I have a Drifter shirt, I'm going to wear the shit out of that, man. Oh, my God. I'm going to be the biggest Drifter fan. And I know that he's heading to SmackDown. But God damn it. Why couldn't we get him on Raw where Corey Graves can immediately be so pissed off that he's there?
It could happen.
Fuck, man.
It could happen.
Put him on fucking Raw so Corey Graves can talk about it. It's the best thing in the world.
I have a feeling that JBL is not going to be a fan of the Drifter, though. So
that's actually a really good point. That's a really good point. I love the Drifter, man. Oh, he's so great. I don't think I need that.
I don't think I need that.
Oh, he's so great. He's so fantastic.
Next, we had Andrade Cien Almas interview where right before that, we learned that
fucking hell, we're going to see Cien Almas versus Tommy End.
I know.
That's fantastic.
I know. It should be a good match, too.
That is going to be so fucking good. Where are our seats at TakeOver?
Good.
Ooh.
I think we're second row.
Ooh. I'm excited about that. That's great. That's fucking fantastic. Good job on that. Then we had our main event. It was Ty Dillinger. Nobody got their full entrance, man. The thing about Ty Dillinger, I want to see his whole fucking. I want to see him dole out.
You
want to
see him pull the card out of the back of his shorts.
I want to see him dole out tens.
Oh,
everybody.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, the crowd kind of didn't deserve it. That's not the Full Sail crowd. The University of Central Florida. They have X-Pac heat with me.
Hold on. We don't know when that was taped during the taping. If that was the very last thing, they could be tired.
I know. And they were actually kind of good for this match.
Yes.
Because this was a big clusterfuck.
But part of it, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
They didn't give Ty his full countdown before his song started. They just kicked in his song.
Oh, I know.
That might have been part of it because you need that anticipation. And so then he can start doling out tens to the entire audience.
I love when he doles them out.
I know. See, I like the
everybody
card.
Gets tens.
I like
you
card.
Like the card. I like the yeah. It's,
I mean, I like the whole thing.
Here's my problem with the card. It's just a laminated piece of paper.
That's why I like it. He did it himself, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why I like it.
He went to FedEx Kinko's.
Yeah.
And
he printed off.
Oh, by the way, I got our backdrops are in.
Awesome.
They're being produced at this excellent at this moment.
Yeah, I like they did it himself.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. So, yeah, this was a huge mess of a match. But it was interesting. They kind of inverted the typical story you see for most tag matches these days where the heels isolate one of the face members in the corners, cut the ring in half. The face team did that.
I feel like
for the first part of this match.
I feel like the face team came into this with a strategy.
Yes.
That's what it really came off as. And I feel like Sanity has no idea what a strategy is.
I want to give Alexander Wolf credit for all the moshing he did last night.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
Much moshing.
He did. When they came in, he did so much
But then
moshing.
During the match, he did it, too.
You know what was great, too? Okay, so I told you. I'm glad you brought up moshing. I told you that. So the WWE Network added, and they did this so on the sly, and I think I just heard it from like Meltzer or something like that. They added literally all the episodes of NXT that started off with the very beginning of NXT as a developmental TV show, not the
reality show type
shit,
thing.
Not the challenge show. And so, like in the second episode, Seth Rollins debuts in NXT. And I looked it up, and it was kind of interesting. So, like, a couple episodes of that, maybe a couple months, were actually on Sci-Fi. And then after that, they were all on WWE.com until the network.
Interesting.
So that was kind of interesting. But also, when Seth Rollins made his debut, he was moshing the shit out of this. Like, he shows up with his fucking music starts playing, and he just starts moshing.
That's crazy.
It's like moshing / straight edge dancing.
Yeah. Well, that's hilarious. Why I don't know if it's in this year's game, but last year's game, one of his taunts is kind of a mosh taunt.
Yeah. But yeah, it's impossible for me to love anybody more than I love Alexander Wolf. He's fucking those faces he makes, and yes, the moshing was great. Amazing. I love Sanity so much. I cannot love them anymore. It's fucking fantastic. So anyways, at a certain point, Ty Dillinger, towards the finish of the match, Ty Dillinger had Eric Young lined up in the corner, I believe. He was going to go and, I don't know, fucking kick him or some shit.
Well, he was setting up for the tiebreaker.
Okay.
He took the knee pad down.
That's right. Nikki Cross comes in, jumps on his back, and then mysterious person.
Well, let's say first, before Nikki comes in, there's a huge brawl in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Ref calls for the bell.
Oh, that's
no
right.
Match.
They threw it out, yeah.
Then it's just Ty and Eric Young in the ring.
Yeah.
Then Nikki comes in.
Right. And then she is thwarted by the debut of Ruby Riott. And the
Heidi Lovelace.
Yeah, yeah. The announcers, did they call? They didn't. They said, "Who is this mystery person?" Essentially, and I love it. We don't get that kind of debut enough.
Yeah,
we don't get that kind of debut enough. Which is, I mean, these days, I think that that maybe creative or Vince or whomever just assumes that we know. I mean, okay, so when they're coming in from NXT to Maine, obviously they assume we're going to know who they are. It's rare that we get somebody just when Damo came in. They assumed we knew who Damo was, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said his name, Big Damo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's rare that we get somebody coming in that they're going to assume we don't know who this person is. So
although the crowd knew who she was. They were chanting Ruby.
Yeah, they were.
So she must have had some matches, either, you know, because the purely NXT developmental group tours just Florida.
Right.
So maybe
she's been
on that and doing some shows or doing dark matches before NXT tapings or something.
Yeah. Great look to this girl. Like, looks like she's tatted up and just really, really cool looking. Like, one of those faces that's just like pops at you. You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
So she attacked Nikki Cross. Are we thinking maybe we're going to get Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross to take over?
No, I was thinking probably an 8-person intergender tag match.
That is probably correct. That's probably right about that. That makes sense. I'm fine with that. I wouldn't necessarily want another.
I kind of feel like in one sense I am. At the same time, I'm eager for Ty especially to move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what.
But making him the featured attraction of this 8-man match.
Yeah, I know. And then if they want to kind of milk this feud for the summer, then have Eric Young and Ty's blow off match at Brooklyn, NXT Brooklyn.
You think it's
that's 4 months away. That's still a long time.
You think it's coincidental that they had Nikki Bella drop Tyler Breeze at the same time you've got this potential intergender stuff going on?
I don't know.
I wonder if they're lightening up a little bit.
I don't know, because Triple H had said something about it not too long ago.
Fairly recently.
That made it
that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Hmm, interesting. So, yeah, that was NXT entering a big scrub. Big Duff to finish. We got some questions to answer.
We do.
Let's answer some questions.
The South Texas Tiger, Dan Cannon. Who's got the better suit, Drew Gulak or Rich Swann?
Well, Rich Swann's is simply like Jack Gallagher, like, essentially got it for him.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of twinning, except he didn't have, like, the accoutrements.
He didn't have the bow tie and the pocket square.
And that's what Gallagher was saying. You need to get that.
Yes.
Now.
Drew Gulak had the full ensemble.
Yeah, I know. But Drew Gulak looks like a fucking lawyer. So I'm going to say Rich Swann.
Yeah, me too.
I think he
was. Because those are actually, I mean, if you just look at the suits individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rich Swann's suit was a better suit.
Yes. If you put them on the same person, if you put them on a mannequin, Rich Swann's is better. But also, I feel like Rich Swann is a dapper guy.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Gulak is just like the most average looking dude ever.
Yes. Rich Swann. That's correct.
Rich Swann. Next question. I should probably load up these questions.
You should.
So I can ask some of them, too.
The bacon-making champion advocate for man dying of thirst, Robert. Hey, friendos. Like many others, I've been watching Lucha Underground on Netflix and found it really entertaining.
Mm.
Here's my question. You are in charge of scouting talent from all wrestling promotions to create the WWE Lucha Libre division, not including those in WWE now. Who would you bring in to the division and why? Thanks, friendos. Botch too sweet for the both of you.
Nice.
Dragon Lee.
Wait, what is this again? What are we talking about?
He's asking, he said WWE is going to start their own Lucha Libre division.
Oh.
Who would you bring in?
Oh.
Dragon Lee. He had a really good match against Takahashi.
Oh, okay.
During the Honor Rising shows.
Bushi.
I believe. Yeah, Bushi.
Bushi. I would bring in Bushi.
I haven't seen his work. I really don't know much about him, honestly. But here, the leader of Los Ingobernables in CMML is a guy named Rush.
Uh-huh.
I like to see more of his work.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to think of other Lucha Libre talents.
I'm sad. You know, that's one of my goals is to try to check out some AAA or CMLL.
I know. Oh, Pentagon Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Phoenix.
Sure. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see because Conan has that new promotion, The Crash.
Mm-hmm.
Really interested to see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some AAA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've watched. My buddy of ours in L.A. used to really enjoy Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
So you go to his house and we'd watch some stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been a little while, so I don't, it's something I definitely want to get back into. There's just not enough hours in the day.
I know. That's the thing. Like, it's yeah, I know. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Terrence Thompson, how do you feel about the NXT commentary team? He says he's starting to feel like Nigel and Percy are the NXT versions of Mauro and Otunga. He says Nigel's commentary is an acquired taste to me, and he conveys little emotion. Percy's just there. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't think they're nearly as bad as... I think Percy brings more than Otunga, and I think... I don't think there's any comparison to Mauro, because Nigel's like the other end of the spectrum. You know what I mean?
Nigel was really good during the UK tournament. Yeah, really good. Yeah. He and Michael Cole were fantastic
together.
I feel
like he's trying to figure out...
what his character is.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes he kind of plays the heel commentator, but sometimes he calls it pretty much straight down the line.
Right, right.
So I think once they figure that out, it'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I think also they're thrown off a little bit by not being in their home base.
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed like they're might like all of a sudden you'd hear Percy sound like he's literally eating the mic, and then he's
They
had audio issues galore while they were at University of Central Florida.
Yeah.
So I maybe, and you know, they're still, this is months old. So they're still like, in terms of like Nigel and Percy being there.
Yeah.
So they're still figuring stuff
out.
Yeah,
yeah. It'll take time for everybody to develop chemistry.
Right.
But I think once they do, it'll be a pretty good team.
Honestly, they're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
I would say 2 years from now, we'll probably be big fans of them.
Yeah.
Because I like when they've been on point, I've liked them. And I think that's the important point, because it's going to take a while for them to get fully on point.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. If you could change the design of an NXT or 205 Live belt, which belt would you choose?
I think it was Brian Zane posted a tweet of a picture he found, or someone did, that was sent to him of the Cruiserweight title done in a more traditional WWE color scheme.
So black strap.
Yes.
I think like sort of a gold...
gold plates with red trim, and it looked really good.
It looked fantastic.
It looked really good.
Really pretty.
I don't mind the Cruiserweight title. I feel like the purple strap I don't know if it's made of leather, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like kind of the spongy material they used to make the toy.
We
have over there, the toy replica belts from.
205 Live is way too purple, dude. It is way too purple. Because I'm not a fan of the color purple in general. That's why it pisses me off that the Sacramento Kings are so heavy on purple.
Well, it's the royal color. That's why. Historically speaking.
That's annoying. I don't like it at all. And then when we were all almost going to lose our team, it was like, oh, we bleed purple or whatever the fucking phrase was, the hashtag was. I'm like, I hate that. Give me powder blue.
Yeah, the powder blue uniforms were nice.
They look fantastic.
Yeah. With the names underneath the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good stuff.
Let's see here. Jose GGR, similar to TNA letting the X Division champion trade in their title for a world title shot before the same pay-per-view every year. Should WWE do the same for the Cruiserweight title? Nah, because they're different. They're sort of different things.
Yeah. Yes. Live sex show champion Scott Haas. With the success of the Cruiserweight Classic and the UK tournament, what should be the theme of WWE's next tournament? There's the women's tournament that I think is maybe going to happen this summer.
It would be really interesting to see who they can sign for if they do decide to do a Japanese-based tournament.
I think it'd be neat if they did a tag tournament.
That'd be fun. That'd be cool.
I noticed last night.
So much of the talent is just locked up, though.
I know. During what show was it? It must have been NXT, the main event, the tag match. That they were, it was booked more like a New Japan tag match, where it was just really frenetic action, and you know, people were in the ring longer than 5 count. Oh well,
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, no, me too.
I think tag matches should always feel like they're on the verge of chaos.
I know, no, I like that. That's a good note there. Let's see here.
The glorious Steve Klain. Hey, friendos, at this point, I believe Aries is above the Cruiserweight division, and that it is inevitable that he will be on the main roster. When that happens, who should Austin Aries' first feud be with? Thanks, friendos.
I kind of disagree with the premise. I think that, I mean, I think it's either going to be, I don't know. I get the feeling that if 205 Live keeps performing the way it does, it'll be 6 months before they do something drastic with it. I don't think it's going to continue along the same path, but I don't think that they're going to use it as like a developmental territory for.
I think it seemed like the plan is that for 205 Live to exist as its own thing.
Yeah.
And not to feed into the main roster, because technically they are main roster wrestlers. They're on Raw.
Right. That being said, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that idea on the Dirt Sheet tomorrow. So, because I have some thoughts about this whole Ring of Honor thing that I think we'll sort of.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good long discussion about all that.
Right, and I think to me, like in terms of network programming, 205 Live will figure into that general strategy of theirs. So, watch that show tomorrow, and we can talk about it then.
Baby Orton's soiled diaper. Hey, friendos.
Baby Orton, baby.
Interesting question. How long do you guys see yourself doing going in Raw? Do you guys have an exit plan? What would you guys do if you ended going in Raw? This is it for us. I mean, it's this or get a retail job.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's the thing that I liken us to, that I try to. People listen to sports radio every day.
Yes.
And those guys do that for decades and decades.
Yes.
And I hope that I can retire having done only this for the rest of my days.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, we're both guys who have interests in other areas. And if we're able to expand into other areas and still maintain this,
yeah,
that would be great.
What if some company came and said, we will give you millions of dollars,
millions
for going in Raw?
Yeah.
You guys can stay or you can go. It's up to you.
Oh, they would lock us. I always wonder how that happens. How, like, you know, okay, let's say going in Raw, for example.
Well, no, they'd want to lock us up.
They'd have. I mean, I would think.
I mean, we're the show.
Giving us millions of dollars and then having Vance and Coy step in.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to see, what's his name, Cannon Grant stepping in for me. Give me a break. Hey, guys, I got myself a new Dirt Sheet scoop. Val Venus is joining DX. Next story. I'm going to get a Snapchat now.
That's why you do it.
That's exactly why I do it.
Continue your point.
Okay. If they said, hey, we'll give you millions of dollars. I like this. They give you millions of dollars, but we're locking you in for 5 years. And if you want to opt out after 5 years, we need a year of you guys incorporating other hosts to our satisfaction.
Yeah,
I would think that'd be
for
contract-
a transition.
Exactly.
Team. Yeah.
I have to think about it. I'd have to give it some consideration.
Well, I mean, if it was like, okay, after 5 years, we want you out, or 5 years is up to you.
Yeah, it's up to you. You guys have the option to walk away.
So if I have like $2 million in my bank account.
Well, yeah.
You know, as much as I love doing this.
Yeah.
Being able to retire by the time I'm 45 or 50.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good too.
It'd be pretty good. I don't know, man.
But then again, I get bored so easily that I don't like if I retire, sit around the house.
I mean, I'll say this: things are going really, really good, and we've only been doing. What was the date that we launched the Patreon? That we kind of went official.
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we're on our 1 year anniversary of being a pro wrestling specific channel. I'm really happy with the way things are going. Mm-hmm. We don't have a need at all for like another job.
No.
A lot of it depends on how we're able to continue to monetize things. Like YouTube is like, go check out our friendos, Ricky and Elliot over at ETC.
Yes.
They have a great video about the direction of YouTube and how unstable things are with the platform. But the bottom line is we have an audience that seems to like what we do. And so as long as we have that, I think the rest will fall into place. Mm-hmm. And
if things change, then we'll deal with it as the changes come.
Yeah. But no, I to be honest, I would love to do this as my job for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
because it affords both of us all sorts of freedoms to do all sorts of things, you mm-hmm. know, but then it also comes with the pitfalls of owning your own business as well.
Yes.
So, I like this. I like this a lot. If SiriusXM came and said, we want you guys to be on the radio for us. I don't know. It's the kind of thing we have to give a lot of thought to, because like this is the thing that we built and we know, and we can't be. This is what I like about this. We cannot be fired.
I know.
We cannot be laid off.
I know.
We could fail.
Yes.
But we can't be laid off. And like when we did get laid off from our last job, I was like, okay, I never want that to happen again, because that's a shit feeling.
It is.
And
it's better to, if you can do it, to be your own boss.
Exactly. And so I had a goal. We both had a goal to not have to rely on that. And we don't have to rely on anybody except for ourselves.
Exactly.
And you, the viewer.
Marcius Mark. Hey, friendos, in honor of March Madness, build a King of the Ring tournament using only current champions, as long as they have a belt, from any promotion. Pick 8 or 16, rank them, and who wins? Let's do 8, so we can have 2 brackets of 4.
And only title holders?
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
So we need Wyatt, we need Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do current champions.
Okay.
Okada.
Yeah. Naito.
Naito, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I want Takahashi.
Okay.
Yeah, the ticking time bomb.
It's 5.
Dude, let me ask you something.
What?
I was trying to think of a situation similar to the fact that there's
Jericho.
That there's Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimp, and Takahashi, ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
And how, like, in the Japanese culture, they would differentiate, because like, if I was trying to think of a situation in the same company, if there's 2 guys with the same last name.
Yeah.
If Adam Cole came in and you said, you know, oh my God, Cole is going for this, you know that you're not talking about Michael Cole.
Yeah.
But Michael Cole's not a wrestler.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, do people refer to him as Oromu Takahashi versus, was it Yujiro
mm-hmm.
Takahashi over there?
I don't know.
I have no idea. 2 Takahashis. Anyways.
So I have 6.
Vince wouldn't let that happen.
Probably not.
That's why I still think that there's a chance that Adam Cole's going to have to change his last name to go to the WWE.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that might be a thing.
Bobby Roode.
Oh, yeah.
One more.
Is Johnny Mundo a champion right now?
He might be in.
Oh,
well,
don't spoil
well,
shit.
Well, I mean, they're in between. Like, there is a break in the season right now. So whoever is
they're champion, done with season 3.
No, they're halfway through.
Oh, there's a break in the season.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So he might be. I don't remember.
Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay.
As a heel. He has to be heel.
Yeah, the PWG champion.
Ooh, Marty Scurll.
Oh, that's true.
No, not Zack
Sabre. We could do 16.
Marty Scurll.
All right, of these 8.
Yeah.
Of Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Okada,
mm-hmm.
Naito, Takahashi, Jericho, Bobby Roode, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Of these 8, who are your finalists and who wins? We don't have to do the whole bracket because that takes too much time.
Well, obviously,
we're both very hungry.
Naito's going to win the entire thing.
You want Naito to win the whole thing?
The finals will be Naito versus Bobby Roode.
Interesting.
That'd be good.
Could be good.
That'd be very good. One more, and then we're going to have lunch.
Let's do 2 more because this question's great.
Dos más.
Mike. Demopoulos, the kayfabe mark.
Demopoulos.
Sorry. Yes. Does anybody else feel like Alexander Wolf looks like the baby from Roger Rabbit grown up?
Babe, what's his name? Was it Baby Huey?
What is
his name? Baby Roger Rabbit. Baby Baby Herman. That's right. Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. With a little blonde hair and the bow on the top. That's great. Dirty Baby Herman. He was a jerk. Why didn't they ever do a sequel to that movie? They have to do a sequel.
I think there was one planned at some point.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
That was a good movie.
God, I fucking love Alexander Wolf, dude.
Yeah, he's great.
And he always comes out. You notice he always comes out with his hand on Big Damo.
Oh, yeah.
On his shoulder. He always walks out like that. And he like looks around like, what are you looking for?
All right, find one more question.
Oh, shit. I have to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, I like this one. Alex Chez.
Okay.
What dream match would you like to see if you could select one WCW cruiserweight to compete against any current 205 Live
good
wrestler?
Good question.
Dean Malenko versus Drew Gulak. That's what I want to see.
A technical matchup.
Matt wrestling.
Matt wrestling.
Yeah.
I want to see La Parca.
La Parca.
Against.
Versus. Oh, the park is a good answer.
Yeah.
Fuck. I want to see LaParca versus Brian Kendrick. That might have happened at some point.
That's good. I was going to say Gallagher.
A man with a plan. It's the security guard.
That was great. I totally missed that. I'm happy you brought that up.
That was good. All right, friendos, that's it for now. Catch the dirt sheet tomorrow. And until then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.